Hi, my name is Liam, and you're listening to Let's Nurture, the podcast. Today, let's talk about something people are naturally bad at across several levels: risk management, especially as it relates to business and project management. We should probably open with what we mean when we say risk, then discuss the different types of risk businesses face, and finally, we'll talk about what it makes sense to do with them. So, first of all, in the thrilling field of project management, risk doesn't mean the same thing as it means in casual conversation. Most importantly, we talk about both positive and negative risks. And I have to tell you, I can't remember the last time I had a conversation about positive risk with a friend. So, if we don't mean a bad thing that might happen, or as Webster puts it, the possibility of loss or injury, peril, what do we mean? Well, we mean something a lot closer to uncertainty. A risk is something that might happen, and if it happens, it will impact your project. Impact is, crucially, a value-neutral term. Sometimes, things go better than expected. We've all had those days when, while driving to work, we hit every single green light, or managed to catch a falling glass just before it shattered on the floor. Unexpected, yet good. Welcome. There's a reason we want to think more about uncertainty than peril, and it's because in the real world, things don't either go as planned or worse. And accurately planning out your project is a key element in successfully managing it. If, by the way, you do find that when executing a project, things either go as planned or worse, but never better, that's a clue that you need to start being more pessimistic in your planning process. Ideally, you should be undershooting reality just about as often as you're overshooting it. We live our lives under uncertainty. It's everywhere, constantly. Every choice you have ever made has been a choice you made under, to one degree or another, uncertainty. Despite this, people are, by all accounts, truly miserable at what should have been a basic skill. Which is fine, right? We don't need to rely on the skills that we have pre-installed. We can go out and get new skills. And the first step to making good decisions when you're operating in an uncertain situation is to learn to recognize not only when you're in one, but how uncertain a situation is. This is genuinely important, and a lens you can apply to way more of your life than just doing project management. So try to keep that in mind for the rest of this talk. When I say risk, you should hear uncertainty, even if the examples we give are of unexpected negative outcomes. And we do usually talk about negative outcomes. While you should be ready for positive risks, and you should take them into account in the planning stage, it's the negative risks that more often demand we do something about them, to mitigate harms to the organization or the plan. There are three things you need to keep in mind when assessing a risk. You need to know what the risk is, which I hope you could have guessed, what the consequences of the risk are, which is to say, if the thing happens, what does that mean for your business or project, and how likely is it to happen? Risk management planning is both arguably the most important and least interesting to talk about step. I will try to keep it interesting, but at a certain point, well, there's a reason you don't see many MBAs at the local comedy clubs. So we need to establish a few things in the planning phase. We need to figure out and agree to the parameters of the project. Let's take an example project that we can work through. We're planning a surprise party. The big risk is that Alice, our friend, will discover the party. In the risk management process, we're going to determine some key parameters for the party. Let's say the size of the cake, the number of streamers, the number of guests, and whether or not Alice is surprised. So we're going to write those down. And they're the key elements that we're going to use to measure the success of the party. Next, we're going to assign them all levels of importance. Let's say that starting from the least important to the most important, we think it should go streamers, then cake, then guests, then whether she was surprised. Because obviously, any surprise party where Alice finds out in advance is a failure. Great. This is a good time to break out a spreadsheet, by the way. Or a whiteboard with lots of different colored markers. Nothing makes me feel as productive as doing things on a whiteboard. Next, we need to figure out how sensitive we need to be to risk in this project. Sometimes, it's okay for a bunch of stuff to not go as well as you wanted, and you can make the project work anyway. These kinds of squishy projects are a lot easier to manage, trust me. Sometimes, though, it's really important you not let risk enter your system. A 5% chance of a rocket exploding on the way to space is way worse than a 30% chance that your friend finds out about a birthday. Let's say this project is not very risk-sensitive, and figure out what constitutes a low, medium, or high level of risk in probabilistic terms. Then, we can sort the importance of our risks to the project by comparing the severity of our risk and the likelihood that it will occur. After all, it makes sense to spend resources based on where they'll be needed the most. While, technically, sudden apocalypse would totally kill the mood, it's very unlikely, so we aren't going to append a lot of resources to reinforcing the dance floor against meteor strikes. On the other hand, some risks are pretty minor, but really likely, and maybe it makes sense to do something about those if we can work it into the plan. Next is the fun part, risk identification. Now that we've figured out a good way to categorize risks and have a system, how to address the most important ones first, and what the key factors for success are in the project, we can sit down with the entire team, as many people as you can pull into a room, and list out the risks that the project faces. Team is a key element in this conversation, by the way. Get as many eyes on this stage as you can. Brainstorm like your brain has never stormed before. There's a great exercise for this step, by the way, or at least one that I advocate for this step. It's called a project pre-mortem. A little morbid, but work with me for a minute. It can be hard to admit that there are risks in front of your boss. Everyone wants to sound confident and like they can handle things, and like they definitely shouldn't be fired. So instead of just asking, what are the risks, we'll play a game. Technically not a game. I checked, though, and there is no rule against having a positive attitude in business. That only applies to accountants. You start the game by telling everyone what risk means in this context, and asking them to show up with a few ideas to get the ball rolling when the meeting starts. In the game, we're 6 months in the future. Or 9, 12, however long it will be when the project is definitely over. And the project has failed. It already happened. Our job is now to talk about why it failed, and what we could have done differently to stop it. This reframing is crucial. Now, rather than a negative, the person who comes up with an answer is being helpful. And it's a lot easier to see issues from the perspective of hindsight, even without the additional information that usually comes along with it. Another one of these quirks that comes along with our brains, I suppose. While you're doing this, by the way, it's okay to get a start on the next step and get an idea of how serious each risk is. Just keep in mind, you're probably going to need to adjust the scores on your own later. People have a tendency to want to one-up each other, to prove that whatever they do is actually the most important element. So in our birthday example, expect Bob, who's getting the cake, to say that the cake is the most important part of the party, while Carol, who's sorting out the seating chart, is going to say the exact same thing. All right, now you have sat down and identified all the threats that you could come up with, and you spent a lot of time on this. You involved as many people as you could. You did the pre-mortem. Great. By now, you probably have a much better sense of what the real risks to this project are than you did at the start of this process. And that's good. The most dangerous elements are those risks that you didn't even know you needed to watch out for. The unknown unknowns, if you will. Part of the benefit of taking a systematic approach is that you can minimize those. So let's move on to risk assessment. Here, You'll take all the risks you identified. Yes, all. Even the little joke ones, or the ones you personally didn't think were that important, and place them on your severity likelihood grid to sort the risks by importance. This is a great opportunity to consolidate, carefully, risks that are actually from the same event. So you may have risks from two different departments that are actually caused by one thing going wrong. Make very sure when you're doing this, you only consolidate risks that are actually caused by the same thing. Not just two things that you think are likely to happen with each other. Finally, we get to risk response planning, where we look at all of our risks and decide how we're going to deal with them. The Project Management Body of Knowledge, or PMBOK, and I can't stress this enough, is an absolutely indispensable resource for project management, lists four possible responses to risk. You can avoid the risk. That is to say, change your plan so the risk is no longer a concern. Maybe order your cake from a baker somewhere that's not so close to where Alice lives, so there's no risk you'll be seen picking it up. You can transfer the risk by buying insurance. That's what insurance is, by the way. A way of transferring risk to another firm for a fee. I couldn't think of a way to make this one work with the surprise party example. Sorry. You could mitigate a risk, so you could take steps to minimize the harm that the risk will do. Maybe you make up some reason that you may be getting everyone together. That way, even if Alice notices that everyone has plans in the same place on the same day, you'll have a good excuse. You'll minimize the damage it will do to the surprise. Finally, there's also acceptance. Sometimes you just need to accept that a risk is a risk, and the potential harms that come along with it aren't necessarily enough to force you into action. The sudden apocalypse example we gave above, even though you realize, strictly speaking, it is possible you could be the victim of a meteor shower, you're just going to accept that and not spend all the money reinforcing the building. Occasionally, since no one has infinite resources, the best move is to just acknowledge that a risk may come to pass and keep an eye on it. Once you decide on your strategy, develop a plan. One unique to every risk, and decide what you need to see happen to implement it. The plan should include enough information that it can be executed even if you aren't there. What needs to be done? Who needs to do it? How long do they have once they see the trigger event? You get the idea. This is going to take a while, so settle in and do the work. The last stage of risk management is risk monitoring and control. It's not even really a stage, if you ask me. It's sort of a different thing, but it's the one that happens throughout the life cycle of the project. Your plan is underway. The party is in the works, and you need to keep an eye on those conditions we were looking for to initialize one of your response plans. Remember, by the way, to make sure everyone knows how and is encouraged to report new risks. No matter how good a job you did in the real world and on the ground, the circumstances you're working under are inevitably going to be shifting constantly. Also, make sure you know who is responsible for identifying and responding to those events which will result in action plans going into place. By following this rough template, you can have a well-structured, systematic approach to handling the risks in the next project you undertake. Until next time, remember to pay attention when you see a way to do something better. I've been Liam, and you've been listening to Let's Nurture, the podcast.